opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All right!
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
So here's the question. Is it too late for our college students? Is it too late for our young people? Is our culture so calloused and so far over the edge that there's no return? That's what we're going to talk about today on the Mark Harrington Show, your voice of resistance here on WRFD. And I have in studio a good friend, Tom Short. Tom is a campus minister who has spent many, many years on the front lines on college campuses across America. And we are kindred spirits in the sense that we both travel the country. I've been doing it now for almost 14 years, all across America. You name the college campus, I've been on it, whether it was on the east or west coast, north, south, doesn't matter, with either our Genocide Awareness Project, which was the large photo exhibit comparing abortion to genocide, and now a little streamed-down version, which we really focus on the training aspect a little more. But we're going to be talking about Tom's work here as he goes around college campuses preaching the gospel and sharing Christ with college students. And if you're interested, Tom's local. He's been in the Worthington, Ohio area for many, many years. He's married. He's got five children. The website for him is tomthepreacher.com, tomthepreacher.com. So write that down right now, because by the time this show is over, you're going to want to go to the website, because he's got all kinds of tools there for apologetics and how to best share the gospel and the truth about God's word and Jesus, all right there on his website at tomthepreacher.com. That's tomthepreacher.com. Tom, thanks for being on the program with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let's jump right in here, Tom. How many years have you been going about preaching on campus, and what does that look like for the listener?
Yeah, I began in 1980, and there's been a few brief years here or there when I was more local and was not traveling much. But pretty much since 1980, I've been out, and particularly since 1994, full-time, this has been my ministry. And during that time, I've been on over 100 campuses throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. We go out, and I would begin simply by preaching, and just where the crossroads of the campus are, take a stand, begin to speak about God and the Bible. And Mark, it never ceases to amaze me, the students stop and listen. They always stop and listen. And a crowd generates. And I start usually about noon and usually pack up about 5 o'clock. And during that time, smaller, larger crowds gather around. In the past year and a half, kind of taking my clue from you from a few years ago, we've created some large displays, some banners, and have begun to erect those on the campus. And that in and of itself draws an audience. They all have questions. And just it kind of preaching to the crowd begins organically, because they stop and ask questions.
My guest is Tom Short. Go to tomthepreacher.com and find out more. Hey, Tom, let me ask you, I went to Ohio State when I was in college, and there were always preachers on the Oval. I don't recall them, and they've gotten a bad name down down the years here. What is your approach? Because I know a lot of people, he's a campus preacher. They have unfortunately, certain stereotypes in their mind. How do you approach a college student when you say the crowds gather? Well, we could all gather a crowd. I mean, you can just pull the grenade and throw it out, and boom, you got a crowd. But how do you do it? How do you draw a crowd, and how do you talk to students?
You know, some people, in my opinion, are unnecessarily inflammatory.
Right.
And the gospel is a challenging message. It is an offensive message.
Mm-hmm.
And if people really understand the gospel message, we don't have to resort to calling names or making outrageous statements
right.
to get the attention of people. I do think that just like be it talk radio or what's on yep. TV shows yep. or whatever, that people are drawn when they see some controversy,
yes.
when they see some sparks flying, when
yep.
they see... And often that's how what's it's interesting to hear that, to hear some back and forth, to hear being the message being challenged. But with me, years ago I asked myself, what am I willing to be controversial about? And there are some things that I think are worth taking a stand on and really being known for. And there's other things.
And
that,
what are those?
Well, to me, my basic message is real simple. God is real.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible's true,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus is the way to heaven. And if people really understand that in our secular world and on the secular campus, if they really understand you really believe God is real and you're calling people to honor him as God, you really believe the Bible is true from Genesis to Revelation, and you really believe that Jesus isn't just another religious figure, but he is the one sent by God to redeem mankind. He's the way back to the Father. Those statements are quite provocative.
Absolutely.
And they can do the job. If people understand what you're saying, they will stop and listen to that.
Well, you know, we ran into each other last summer at the University of North Florida. I didn't know you were going to be there, and you didn't know I was going to be
yeah.
there. And I was very impressed. I mean, obviously, I've known you for years and your approach, and I appreciate it. On how you did talk to students, and you had a crowd there with the big display. We would love to draw those kind of crowds. We generally don't as much. You know, our signs are provocative in and of themselves. But I think, you know, standing and preaching alone is going to draw people to you. You now have this display, which you're calling Truth on Display. Is that what you're calling it?
Yes.
Explain, if you would, the three panel. Are you on a campus 3 days?
Yes.
Okay. So each day you have one subject that you're dealing with or attempting to. I'm sure you go all over the place.
Yes.
But
yeah.
explain what those panels are and what you're trying to address in each one.
The first day, the idea is that God is real, and that specifically we deal with questions like, has science disproven God? Is it illogical to believe in God? What does real faith mean? There's a lot there on Darwinism and evolution.
Uh-huh.
And the challenge, because the God, to many people, the God of our day is science.
Right.
And the belief that science has disproven God. I hear every day people say, I believe in science, I don't believe in God. Now,
right.
I've never heard the other. I've never heard anyone say, I believe in God, no. I don't believe in science. And so the attack coming is coming from the realm, and it's not coming from science, it's coming from naturalism. And from the belief that what is seen is all that there is, the material world, and that the natural, everything that has happened can be explained by a natural process. Now, that's not really science. That is a philosophy that pervades modern science.
Mm-hmm.
So day one, we deal with, we focus on the existence of God. And to me, Christianity is a thinking person's religion. And the rational belief is that someone made this world, and it is irrational to believe it's all came about by mere chance.
No doubt, no doubt. So how would you address when a student, you know, asks you the question, how can you prove God?
Mm-hmm.
But what would you say to them?
Well, I would say that, to me, the simplest answer is that just as a building needs a builder, and a watch needs a watchmaker, and glasses need an optometrist, and a shoe needs a shoemaker, and everything that we have and that we see that has any order and design and purpose to it has to have an intelligent mind behind it. And by the same reasoning, a creation needs a creator. The eye is far more complex and well-designed than a pair of glasses. A cell in your body is far more designed and complex and purposeful than a building.
Now, you may get people to agree with you on that, but how do you prove the Christian God? Because you have Islam, you have all the other religions out there in competition, and the rise of Islam in America.
Yeah.
How do you prove the Christian God? And that's because that's a part of that, obviously.
Well,
we need to get to there.
Yeah, and so if a person acknowledges there's a God, then the question, well, what makes you think your religion's any better than anyone else's? And I usually start at that point by saying, well, you know, I'll start with Our Guy Rose from the Dead. You know, that is a uniqueness to Christianity. And this is what we get on the third day.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to think that every religion had miracles and so forth. Muhammad never
they
rose
don't.
From the dead.
No.
Buddha, Krishna, these people never rose from the dead. They if you ask a Muslim, why ought I believe in your religion? They say, well, the Quran says so. If you ask a Christian, why ought I believe in Christianity? We'd say he conquered death. He did things that could only be done in the power of God. Anyone can write a book, but not anyone can rise from the dead. And that's something Jesus did.
My guest is Tom Short, and Tom is a campus minister, travels across America to college campuses with a display currently called Truth on Display. It's a three-panel display. The first day talks about the existence of God. The second talks about the whether the Bible is true. And the third is whether Jesus rose from the dead or the existence of Jesus, whether he was God or not. And I've known Tom for many years because we run into each other somewhat on college campuses with our exhibit on abortion and his here on Christianity. And Tom, what I want to do is let's move from, okay, so the first day is the existence of God. The second is about the Bible.
Yes.
So again, what is the panel, what does the display look like, and kind of the questions that you would deal with there on that?
You know, the serpent has tried to undermine the Word of God since the Garden of Eden, and his tactic has never changed. And so there's an incredible amount of disinformation about the Bible out
right
there. And so my panel is trying to handle some of that from a merely intellectual point of view. How were the books of the Bible chosen?
Do people actually sit and, I mean, they walk around and read it?
They do. They do. And my panels are somewhat, not everybody does. I wish every student would read it because we feel that this is information everybody should have.
Right.
Not everybody does, but a lot of students will read every panel. They'll take photos of it and paste it on their Facebook or Twitter it out to somebody, and so forth. So, but we deal with some of the factual aspects of the Bible. It is the most influential, amazing book ever written.
No doubt.
By simply even non-theological or non-spiritual terms, it's the most widely book written, the most translated book written. It's had a greater effect on history and culture than any book ever written. It's had a greater influence on science than any book ever written, on human rights, on human progress. You just go throughout. And so part of it is just what we want to do is lift up that this is the world's most amazing book. How could you consider yourself educated if you don't know it, if you've never read it,
nice,
and if you're just rejecting it?
Right.
And then we try and deal with some of the questions that skeptics raise about how was it translated, who wrote it, when was it written, and so forth.
Hold that thought, because we'll pick up with that on the other side. My guest is Tom Short. He's a campus minister, goes around the country preaching on the gospel, preaching the gospel, and evangelizing our young people. You can go to tomthepreacher.com, or if you want to take a look at his display, which the website is in progress right now, you can go to truthondisplay.com. That's Truth on Display. Tom's a kindred spirit, a traveler like myself, and has been around for many, many years. We'll be right back.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute.
Created Equal is about changing this culture, and that's what we have to do if we are going to win this fight. And Mark and Seth and the others on the team of Created Equal are doing just that. And I am happy to endorse their work, glad to call them fellow companions in this fight for the life of the unborn. And I certainly hope you will support and work with them as they work on reforming this culture so that it has an appreciation for human life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
All right, my guest is Tom Short, TomThePreacher.com, and Tom's a campus minister preaching the gospel of Christ all across America on college campuses. This man is bold as a lion. I've seen him stand in front of college students and just winsomely return and interact with them, asking all the right questions, respecting them. It is a sight to be seen, folks. I mean, this man deserves your prayers and your support. I would say send him a check. Go to TomThePreacher.com. He's about ready to go on the road for several months here this next semester. It's tough work, folks. I mean, you're not at home. You're not with your family. You're not in your own bed at night. Sometimes you don't even know where you're sleeping. But it's great work he's doing. So we want to lift up Tom and his work. TomThePreacher.com. Go to his website. Send him some support. This guy's doing great work for the Lord. So, Tom, let's pick up where we left off. The second day you deal with the Bible, is it true? And the panel, pick up where we left off on that. How do you defend the Bible as far as being the Word of God and why people should want to read it and understand it?
There are all kinds of questions skeptics ask, and I want to be able to answer them. But the bottom line, I've become convinced, is people just need to read the Bible.
By itself. I mean, just
read it. Now, I encourage them. You know, when people read the Bible, lots of times they make a big mistake, and that is they start at the beginning. And I encourage them instead to start at Matthew, so that because that relates most directly to the message of Christ. I encourage them to get a modern translation, and I encourage them to pray and ask God that if this is really true, he would help them understand. Mm-hmm. I have seen so many people who went from being a skeptic or an atheist or unsure, and they simply give God an honest chance by reading the New Testament, and they're converted to Christ. And that
now, is this somebody like you'll meet one year and see them the next year? How do you?
Yes.
I mean, it can't happen like that because they can't read the New Testament in one day.
There are correct, but usually it doesn't take the whole New Testament.
Right.
Usually people are pretty amazed the first day that I never knew the Bible said that, and they're drawn by the Holy Spirit. But it's typical because I'm there 3 days. Most of the converts I see are people who come up to me a year later and tell me, or they drop me an email and tell me that they took the challenge and were reading the New Testament and came to faith in Christ.
So the third day, you deal with Jesus.
Yeah.
How do you handle that one?
You know, I say there are Jesus is unique. Real quickly, I've got a whole hour message, but I'll make it fast. He's the only one, are you ready?
Sure.
Who fulfilled ancient prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, who claimed to be God.
Yep.
Number three, who backed that up by living a sinless life. Number four, who because he was sinless, was able to die for us upon the cross. Number five, the big one, who rose from the dead. The tombs of all these other guys are occupied. Jesus is empty. He lived, he died, he was buried. 3 days later, his tomb was empty, and over the next 40 days, hundreds of people claimed to have seen him and were willing to suffer and die for that. It's pretty powerful when you unpack this. And then, as I said earlier, he's the only one who validated his claims by his miracles. When you realize no one else has done those things, Jesus, if all you're saying is Jesus went around saying, be nice to your neighbor, well, there's plenty of people who did that. But no one did those things in history that Jesus did in what he said and what he did in his death, resurrection, and so forth.
Tom Short's my guest. Go to TomThePreacher.com to find out more. Tom travels the country preaching the gospel and sharing the truth about God's word, the Bible, about Jesus all across America. And he's a definite kindred spirit in the battle here. I wanted to ask you this question. Is it too late for our college students? You know, I go about this. I've been doing it for 14 years, 15 years. And I have seen that our students are less open over time. But I want to get it from you. Are they still – I guess I could phrase it different. Is it too late for our college students? Just answer that first.
It's not too late, but the battle is far more intense than most people here realize. It gets more intense by the year. And if you thought...
And why
you,
is that?
I think the increase of secularism. I think the increase of immorality. Mm-hmm. I think the embracing of... particularly the homosexual, the celebration and embracing of homosexuality is antagonistic to the gospel truths. And they see the Bible as the hindrance to progress in what they'd understand their human rights or scientific progress or things of this nature.
Which is the opposite of the truth, actually.
It's the exact opposite. It is what there is no basis for real human rights if there's no God and no Bible. It's all just what we decide and who to give them to.
So why do you go to a college campus in comparison to other venues you could go to?
Well, because you can.
Right.
That's the
get
big
the First
thing.
Amendment.
Yeah, you can.
Praise
the high
God.
Schools are you can't do what we do there. And the college is kind of the last time when people are really thinking theoretically, ideally, when they leave college, they've developed their worldview. And the truth is, as we know, they get busy and they stop thinking and they're not open to reevaluating. Now, is it too late for our campuses? I do not believe so, but I will say I think we need to reach kids at a younger age, high school, even early high school. I often ask a person who's an atheist who said they believe in God and they're now an atheist. I say, when did you become an atheist? And I'd say 90% of them tell me about age 14 or 15. And I think we need to be reaching them younger. But the battle intensifies at college, and a lot of it is even just hanging on to what we got.
Right.
The kids who are already believers.
And you're there. You're there to reach the individual students. You're not trying to reform the institution of a college campus. We understand that's a long road down.
Yeah.
As we are, we use it as an opportunity to reach and train. And let's talk about that. You have folks that go on the road. You're not just on your own, right?
Right. That's right.
So you're a training program too.
Yes.
Right. Speak about that.
Well, I have. I have this with me this semester. I'll have 5 interns, 4 guys and 1 girl, actually. They will travel with me to each campus, and they help with all of our setup and work, and they meet students, they talk to students, they man our literature table. And some of them, I hope, will be taking my place and will be multiplying where they can do
so
what
they,
I do.
So they do a lot of the one-on-one. You're doing more of the larger groups or gathering the groups, and they'll be working the crowd. I mean, that's kind of what we do as well.
Correct. But I am hoping that a couple of them will be able to do what I do in the years to come.
Yeah, because we're not getting much younger.
No,
we're not getting any younger.
No.
Are we?
No.
You're a younger man than me. You got many more years left doing this. So let's talk about your tour coming up here. It's this semester, if you would, for our listeners. And particularly, I want folks to be praying for you on these campuses. If you would, tell us where you're going.
I begin in the second week of February. We'll be at the University of Southern California, and then up to UCLA, down into San Diego. After a couple weeks out in Southern California, we'll head across into Arizona State.
The big ones. Yeah,
yes.
That's good.
Yeah. And then over,
makes sense. You go to the big places.
You go to the big ones.
Yep.
And then we'll head over to Texas A&M and perhaps one or two other universities in Texas before, by mid-March, we'll be landing down in Florida, in at University of Florida International in Miami.
Yep.
And working up into University of Central Florida. And then on up in the East Coast before, by April, we'll be back into Central Ohio, hopefully.
So your family, do they come out with you some? Or are you pretty much gone for how long? About 2 months?
I try and come back on some weekends. And my interns will go ahead and travel in between, and they'll take our display and our materials. My wife joins me some. My kids are all grown. My youngest is 27
I saw the photo.
Now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you got me beat on that.
Yeah. So he's my youngest. And but, God has given us grace, and yet we realize there's a sacrifice we make.
Absolutely.
We value family, and my wife is my closest partner, and her support for me and what God has led us to do. She realizes this is her ministry, too, even though she's not been able to travel as much. And no ministry is really worth doing where there's no sacrifice.
No, that's for sure. Tom Short's been my guest. Go to TomThePreacher.com, folks. Check out the display. Check out his apologetics tools, the videos, the YouTube videos on different subjects relating to the existence of God, the inerrancy of the Bible, and was Jesus God, and did he raise from the dead? All on the website there at TomThePreacher.com. Tom, I appreciate it. You know, you're a kindred man, a kindred spirit. I understand. It's a family thing. We all sacrifice together for the truth of the gospel. We'll be back next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington,
your radio activist,
sponsored by Created Equal.
For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net.
createdequal.net.
Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders
in the culture war.